Hello, my friends. This is Christy Thomas coming to you live from my office, which is kind of exciting. It's 8:15 and I finally have a few minutes to myself, and I'm going to spend it talking with you about Lent. What on earth is Lent? Now, some of you may be familiar with Lent, maybe you grew up with it, but if you're anything like me, you grew up in a Protestant church and you didn't have a clue what Lent is, or if you had an idea about it, it was maybe just something that the Catholics did and didn't know if it was really for you or not. So we're going to talk about, what is Lent? Is it something that you can or should observe, no matter what tradition you're from? And if it is, which I think it is it something that you can do with your kids? And newsflash, I think it is something that you can observe with your kids, and I'm going to give you some resources for that. Okay, so let's start. So Lent, what on earth is Lent? So I first heard about Lent way back. I think I was about 20. I was in university. I decided that I wanted to try celebrating Lent by giving up sugar, and it was like crazy hard. I thought, what am I doing? This is insane. And I'm pretty sure I gave up. And to be honest, I didn't really understand what I was doing, why I was doing it. So since then, I've learned a little bit more about observing Lent. So if you're unfamiliar with it, here are a few myths and truths. So I've got a few myths here first. The first myth is that celebrating Lent is only for Catholics. And that is untrue, because Lent is something that was celebrated by Christians before there were Catholics and Protestants. It's been around for a very, very long time. So Catholic Christians, Orthodox Christians, and Protestant Christians all celebrate Lent. Not everybody does it. It's probably more common in the Catholic and Orthodox traditions, but there has been a resurgence in a lot of these liturgical practices in Protestant traditions in the last few decades. And I think that's a really good thing. There are a lot of life-giving things in these practices if we do them well. So the truth is that you can practice Lent. You don't have to be Catholic. All right, so myth number two is that Lent is 40 days long. Now, actually, it's 46 days, because those six extra days are Sundays. So if you decide to give up something for Lent, the thing is that you're not supposed to give that thing up on the Sundays, because the Sundays are kind of like a mini resurrection day. So whatever you're fasting from, you're not allowed to fast on Sunday during Lent. So if you're fasting from something like sugar, guess what? You get to have dessert on Sunday evening during Lent. It's kind of nice. All right, and the third myth is that Lent is just about fasting. When we think of Lent, we often think of giving up something for Lent, but that's not necessarily true. It's not just about fasting. So there are actually three traditional Lenten activities. So one is prayer, one is fasting, and the other one is called almsgiving, or you can just say giving. So the purpose of celebrating Lent is to draw us closer to God, which is the actual purpose of the Lenten season, is to prepare our hearts to celebrate Jesus at Easter. So like Jesus fasting in the desert for 40 days, or Moses being with God on Mount Sinai for 40 days, Noah was also in the ark for 40 days and 40 nights. So the number 40 has spiritual significance in the Bible and for Christians. So the 40 days of Lent are just a physical reminder to draw near to God. They're not meant to be something that binds you and makes you really stressed out. There's something that is intended to draw you closer to God. So I have heard people say, well, Lent's not in the Bible, so I shouldn't celebrate it. And if that's something that is God is saying to you, don't do anything that's not in the Bible, well, that's fine. But I think that there's a long history of tradition there that should we do approach it with an attitude of humility and intentionality, we can really draw closer to God through it. So here is a Lent summary. Lent is a 46-day period starting on Ash Wednesday and ending on Easter Sunday, during which Christians prepare their hearts for Easter and draw near to God through the practices of prayer, fasting, and giving. So Lent isn't about fasting. It's about drawing closer to God. So there are these three practices that Christians have used for generations and which can help you draw closer to God. So the first is prayer. So, I mean, we often think that the only purpose of Lent is to fast. But if the purpose of Lent is to help us draw near to God, then we can't just pick something willy-nilly. I have this recollection once of I can be a little bit of a turd sometimes. And one of my coworkers at church once was like, well, I'm giving up coffee, you know, for Lent. And I was like, why are you giving up coffee for Lent? Did God call you to give up coffee for Lent? Does it matter? Why? Like, do you have any intentionality behind this? And he was like, oh, sorry, maybe I won't. I don't think he gave up coffee for Lent that year. So, so maybe on a little bit of a rampage about it. But really, I do believe that if you're going to give up something for Lent, it should be something chosen intentionally and prayerfully. So prayer can help us give up something for Lent if that's something that we want to do. So here's a prayer. I have offered a prayer on my website, and I just wanted to pray it with you today, and you can pray it with me. God, you are above and below me, around and beside me. You hem me in, and yet I often feel far from you. Please open my eyes to the things that keep me from you. If there's something in particular you want me to give up this season, please show me, convict me, and guide me. In Jesus' name, amen. So for me, I've been praying that prayer for the last few weeks, trying to figure out, God, is there something you want me to fast from this season? And for me, I've really just been convicted about the amount of the things that I buy that I don't need to buy. So for it's about the money that I spend, but it's also about consumerism and, you know, purchasing things and being part of this big consumer cycle. So for me, it's just I'm going to not buy things that I don't need during Lent. Things that don't, you know, that aren't necessary to keep me alive or my kids alive. Okay, so that's prayer. And so then fasting during Lent. So let's talk about fasting. So I'm kind of actually going in a cycle here. Several years ago, I was again kind of convicted about how much money I spent. And so I was praying about it on the way to Costco one evening and said, okay, God, I'm going to give up all unnecessary spending or shopping for Lent. And then I looked up when Lent was and Lent started tomorrow. So I was like, okay, God, I guess I'm just going to stop cold turkey. So through this time of prayer with God, I was motivated to fast from buying things I didn't need. And through that Lenten season, I not only learned to trust God more with our finances, but I also learned to keep a budget, probably for the first time, which has really changed the direction of our family finances. So I'm excited to see what God does with this fast this time. So that was several years ago. And now I'm doing that one again, because sometimes we need to circle back around to things that were strongholds and have become so again. So again, because every Sunday is kind of like a mini resurrection celebration, Sundays aren't included in those 40 days, which is why Lent is actually 46 days. So you can't fast on Resurrection Day. So if you choose something really extreme to fast from, remember that you can still participate in this activity on Sundays. So for example, some friends of mine actually fasted from all shopping during Lent a while back. And so then they did their grocery shopping on Sundays because they just were literally not purchasing anything during the week. So in the past, I've fasted from social media. Last year, after my book launch in February, I really felt like I was just overwhelmed with Facebook. So I just stepped away from Facebook and Instagram for Lent, except for kind of business-related stuff. And that felt really good. And I felt like then after Lent, I was able to reapproach it, and it wasn't a stronghold or an idol in my life anymore. So again, if you want to fast from something during Lent, I really encourage you to do it prayerfully. And here are some suggestions of things you could give up if you wanted to. So you could give up shopping, like I suggested, maybe completely, or from unnecessary items. You could give up complaining. That could be hard. You could give up sugar or social media. You could give up purchasing fast food, give up meat. I'm not entirely sure, but I think that this is the Catholic version of Lent, is you give up meat. You could give up wearing makeup. That would be tricky. For some people that would be like, oh, giving up homework. Or you could give up sleeping in. I tried to do that one year and I couldn't hack it for more than about 3 days. I admit I really failed on that one. Okay, but sometimes Lent isn't actually about giving up something physical, but more about giving up time to God. So it's more like instead of fasting from something, you're feasting on God. So maybe there's a time slot in your day when you could really give your attention to God, or you could focus on just praying like a centering prayer more frequently during Lent, something like Jesus Christ, Son of the Living God, have mercy on me, where you just, every time you kind of have a gap in your day, you're just praying that and bringing your focus back to God. So that could be something that you do that is kind of adding something to your life instead of taking something away. If you are looking for something that is the same length as Lent, approximately. I have a 40-day reading plan called 40 Days with Jesus. It's something that really was awesome for my family and has been for a lot of families. If you're hungry to know Jesus in a deeper way, you can take this email challenge. So it's totally free. It's 40 days. You get a reading from the book of Mark. So we go through the entire book of Mark in 40 days in kind of child-sized portions or family-sized portions. So it's not a huge chunk of reading every day. And then it's got some discussion questions that you can just think about or you can talk about as a family or as a couple. And then I have a devotional that you can read just for yourself. It's not really for kids or family, but you can read it for yourself if you want something a little more. So that's all involved in the 40 Days with Jesus, and I'll leave a link for that. All right, so the last part, so we have the prayer during Lent, the fasting during Lent, and the last part is giving. So there was my fasting from shopping experience from several years ago, which I'll be replicating. And there was an amazing byproduct. At the end of the season, I had a few $100 left over to give to my favorite organization, which I think at that time was Compassion Canada and probably still is my favorite. So if you choose to give this Lenten season as a way of drawing near to God, here's some out-of-the-box suggestions. So you could use cash for all your grocery shopping during Lent, and then every unused dollars every week, so like all your change and stuff, you just put it into the church offering plate or put it into a jar, and at the end of Lent, put it in the church offering plate or send it to Food for the Hungry or some organization that is helping people get food. Or you could choose a ministry that serves in a way that excites you and just set aside a few dollars each week to donate to them. You could set up an automatic withdrawal from your bank account for a worthy organization. You could have that coming out during Lent. You could give of your time to serve in an unusual way or to volunteer somewhere, kind of like we often do at Christmas. Let's consider doing that at Lent as well. Or you could do some random acts of kindness with your family. That could be really fun. So when you put it all together, prayer, fasting, and giving can create this really deep, memorable experience where you draw closer to God as you prepare your heart for Easter. So, but remember, none of this is necessary for the Christian life. You're right, it's not in the Bible. And you don't get Jesus points for fasting or praying or giving or for celebrating Lent. But it can help you experience God in incredible new ways. So if you're thinking right now, well, that just feels like too much, that is super overwhelming, don't do it. But if it's something that you feel this tug in your heart, I want to try something deeper this year, this Lent, give it a try. Pray about it and see where God leads you. So if you decide to do it, let me know. I'd be super interested to know if you're going to do this. You can let me know if you want to fast from something. Let me know where you're going to fast from. Maybe we can kind of keep each other accountable. And I also said there are ways to do this with family. So I have another printable on my website. It looks big here. So it's a list of 40 things that you can do with your kids. So they fall under the three categories of prayer, fasting, and giving. So most of them are giving things, like give someone a hug or say something kind to a friend, wash someone's feet, do someone's laundry. The fasting ones are really simple kid-friendly things, like fast from TV for the day, fast from dessert today, fast from meat today. And so what you do with this particular document is you cut it apart into strips and then you staple them together or tape them together into a paper chain. So every day your kid rips one off and then it kind of becomes a countdown for Easter, but then it also gives you something to do each day, something really simple that can help your kids engage in Lent. Another thing that we have done with our kids, I did this when they were preschoolers, was I told them we're going to be celebrating Easter, and Easter is a time when we remember Jesus' love for us, and we want to become like Jesus. So sometimes we need to practice that. So I said, every time I catch you doing something that shows God's love, I'm going to put a bean in this jar. And I discovered I needed to use pretty big beans. Otherwise, it took a really long time. And so then I would put a bean in the jar. And then sometimes they were doing things kind of contrived to get a bean in the jar. But then oftentimes I would just catch them being good and throw a bean in the jar. So you can see how that can also help with some behavior modification there. And then on Easter, then I took all those beans and I pulled them out and I put jelly beans in instead. So in the morning, on Easter morning, they got some jelly beans. We're not really big on like Easter baskets. I have never really done them, but this was kind of a way for them to have some Easter candy without it being a lot of junk. So that was a really fun way to kind of tie that together. So you could try that as well with kids. So if you're wondering, when does this start? It starts on Wednesday, February 26th. So that's, if you're watching this today on Monday, it starts in 2 days. There's a few special days in Lent. So Wednesday is Ash Wednesday. If there might be a service near you, you could check out a church. A lot of churches, more especially more liturgical churches, will have an Ash Wednesday service you can attend. I also have a really simple, or fairly simple, probably about a 10-minute devotional and activity that you can do with your kids that you can download off my website, where you actually, like, you write down like sins basically, and then you burn them, you mix them with oil, and you make an action cross on your child's forehead, and then that goes together with a Bible study through a part of Hosea, I think is what I picked. Sorry, I wrote it last year. It goes through Hosea, not the whole thing, but just a chapter of Hosea, which I thought really was really showed what repentance is all about, because repentance is something that's really hard, at least for my kids. So it was a good thing to talk about with them. So there's Ash Wednesday, which is this coming Wednesday. And then there's kind of your more Eastery thing. So there's Palm Sunday. There's Maundy Thursday, which is the day before Good Friday, which is kind of the day that we traditionally do the washing of the feet ceremony. And then there's Good Friday and Resurrection Sunday. So another really fun thing that is in my little activity package for kids is something called Burying the Alleluia, which I think I heard about at a church a long time ago. So the word Alleluia, you're not supposed to say during the Lent season. So you take a bucket and you all shout Alleluia into the bucket, and then you close the bucket and say nobody's allowed to say that word until Easter Sunday. And then you take the bucket and you bury it. And then on Easter Sunday, you unbury it. So for us, we buried it in the snow, and by Easter Sunday, the snow had melted. If you don't have snow, you could bury it in the garden or just stick it in your basement or do whatever you want with it. And then you open it up and everybody gets to shout, Alleluia! And it's quite fun. So that's something really simple that kind of shows the spirit of fasting to your kids if you don't want to actually do a fast with them. They just fast from saying the word Alleluia. So that's kind of fun. And there's also a book. Oh, I should have grabbed it. It's called Emmon's Adventure. So if you're looking for something that really kind of helps your kids understand the story of Easter deeper, and you really like read-alouds with your kids, there's a book called Emmon's Adventure. It's by Arnold Yreetide, Y-R-E-E-Tide. And I think it has like 25 daily readings, and it goes through the story of Ammon, who's a boy in the first century, and his path crosses with Jesus, and he's also got a very tense story trying to rescue his dad from being put on a cross, basically. and then his path crosses with Jesus and that story as well. So if you like, and there's a book, I think the readings are like 10 to 15 minutes per day. So if you like to read aloud with your kids, Ammon's Adventure could be a really fun way to incorporate kind of a Lent idea into your family as well. So that is all I have. If you have questions, or if you have things that you'd love to add to what I've said here, like, I don't know everything there is to know about Lent. There is, I'm sure, lots more. I just find it really fascinating, and I think that the practice of it can really help us deepen our faith. So tell me about what you're doing. Ask me your questions. And that is it. All right, I'll see you around.